Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Hi, it's the Capital Connection, and I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is columnist, Albany Bureau Chief, and regular right here because he knows so much, Daily News' star columnist, Ken Lovett. Welcome back, Ken.
Good to be here.
So I want to start by giving you a name, and I hope that you'll be able to tell me a little bit about this individual, Anthony Bonomo.
Important guy, not a name people know, although they probably know it a little bit more now. This is a guy who the governor named as the head of the New York Racing Association in April, and to the extent that's the most we knew about him, until last week when Dean Skelos, the former Senate Majority Leader, was indicted, and Bonomo and his company, while not named, were referenced in the indictment for giving Dean Skelos' son, supposedly, allegedly, a $100,000 no-show job. All of a sudden, Bonomo is cooperating with the feds. This is a guy who has given big money to pretty much every major player in New York politics, whether it's Cuomo, the Senate Republicans, Schneiderman, the Attorney General, or Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. He's a big player and a big donor anyway, and he is now cooperating with the feds. He's one of several now who are cooperating with the feds, who are pretty big access guys in Albany, who, if there's anything to know, whether it's about the governor's office, whether it's about the legislature, these are the type of people who know it. Him and a guy named Charles DiRigo, who is tied with Glenwood Management, which is not only caught up in the Skelos scandal, but also caught up in the Sheldon Silver scandal, you know, the former Assembly Speaker.
And also, to some degree, if I don't want to cut in here, but the Moreland Act ends up, because it turns out that Cuomo took a lot of money from the real estate industry in order to raise that fantastic war chest he had. How many millions was that?
Over 40.
$40 million. Think about that, folks. $40 million to run for political office. And very few people, when you take a look at the breadth of how many people gave, it wasn't that many people to get the $40 million. So there is this pay-to-play culture, and that's what Preet Bharara, the fighting U.S. attorney, is going after.
Exactly. And the question will be, what has happened? Now, we don't know anything, you know, and I stress, there's no reason as we sit here today to say that, you know, Andrew Cuomo has done anything wrong or other people. But as I said, and what people have told me, if there's things to know about Cuomo and others in Albany, the people who are now cooperating with the feds, they're the ones who know it, and they're the ones who would be able to provide a roadmap for them to go to. So it could get interesting.
Yes, it could. Now, you mentioned the Attorney General of the State of New York, Eric Schneiderman. Now, there's a general consensus, I think, among people in Albany that Andrew Cuomo doesn't particularly play well with him or with the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, or with Tom DiNapoli, the comptroller. Just doesn't play well with others. It was on his report card, I think.
Yeah, and he doesn't play well in the sandbox or the Senate Democrats or the Assembly Democrats or the Working Families Party.
Yeah.
Teachers union.
Yeah. My feeling has always been, with a little bit of, you know, wisdom, he could have avoided a lot of that kind of animus. Because sooner or later, when you treat other people badly, it comes back to bite you in the behind. Now, Eric Schneiderman, the AG. Now, let's remember what the AG is. That's the jumping off point for the last couple of governors. They become AG, then they become governor. So now it hasn't been all that easy between the two men, right?
Exactly. And, you know, the word in Albany, AG, stands for not attorney general, but aspiring governor. And Eric Schneiderman is known, you know, those close to him. He wants to run for governor in 2018, particularly if Andrew Cuomo doesn't. But if Cuomo's numbers continue to sink the way they have been, then maybe possibly in a primary. They don't get along very well. Now you're seeing the attorney general kind of step up his criticisms of the governor. He's just released an ethics package saying that, you know, even though under Cuomo they've done three different ethics packages, you know, Schneiderman's words, "I'm tired of tinkering around the edges," and he's called for major substantive comprehensive reforms that aren't going to get done, by the way, but that's what he's pushing for now, including a campaign finance reform, closing a loophole that basically allows corporations to give unlimited amounts of money, all those kinds of things. He wants to make the legislature full-time, ban all outside employment, revamp the per diem system that lawmakers get for their travel expenses. So, you know, it's a very comprehensive package of things that people have been talking about for years, but the legislature has shown no will to do.
Okay, so I don't know how you would characterize Schneiderman. I would characterize him and have so done so in a recent column as being ambitious, but not particularly bellicose or out front, you know, in terms of his persona. Now, I think Schneiderman has a tiny little problem, and that is that you will remember when the famous Moreland Act Commission was appointed in order to obviously go after the legislature, Cuomo prevailed on Schneiderman to appoint all of the members of the commission as assistant attorney generals so that they would have the power to go after the legislature, because otherwise they would be confined to the executive branch. Cuomo, and this is an interesting story, I think, Cuomo disbands it when they say, why did you disband? He said, because I can, because it's mine, I can do anything I want. But I thought at the time, wait a second now, Schneiderman, the attorney general, also appointed them. And we didn't hear much of a peep out of him about the disbanding of the Moreland Act Commission.
Well, he certainly recommended a number of appointments, but ultimately it was the governor's commission. He formed it. What the governor did was give the members, most of the, if not all the 25 members, the power of a basically special attorney general so that they could do this. And certainly Schneiderman has been criticized for not being more vocal about what has happened. And, you know, it was an issue during the AG race. It didn't really stick by his opponent, his Republican opponent, John Cahill. So whether years down the line, you know, 2018, you know, 6 years later, it would be an issue. I don't know how it would play, but certainly it would be an issue that someone would use against him, either in a primary or, you know, assuming it's not Cuomo, or a Republican.
So, Ken Lovett, this may be an effort by Schneiderman. I don't like to get into motives because you never know. But this may be an effort for him to get clear of some of that stink from the Moreland Act Commission.
Well, I think it's A, yes, I think that's part of it. And I think B, it's a way to really stick it to the governor. You know, the governor, you know, you look at the polls and, you know, ethics is the people, the poll came out basically saying that 55% don't believe the legislature would do anything to fix ethics or the governor, and that every state official should be voted out of office. I mean, talk about throw the bums out. 55% want everyone voted out.
Wow.
Now, whether they follow through next year, you know, I doubt. But
because we all know that they hate the legislature, but they like their own guy.
Exactly. So those who bother to show to the polls. But yeah, I think it's an issue that is a win issue for anybody. If you're running around the state saying, I want to fix and clean up Albany and I want better ethics reform, it's a slam dunk issue. I don't think you're going to hear the governor talk as much about it as he has the last 4.5, 5 years because, you know, he's done three packages.
It's over now.
It's over for him on that issue. I think we've seen the last of the ethics reform packages under Andrew Cuomo.
You've done terrific work, Ken Lovett, on donations. And let's say some scandal-ridden company gives you a lot of money and you get caught literally with your pants down. I mean, you know, this is a nightmare to be woken up in the middle of the night and say, uh-oh, you know, the U.S. attorney's going after. What's some of the examples of that?
Well, a couple of years ago, a tax break program had expired. I think it was J51, whatever the name is. And they didn't renew it right away. And then right when they were renewing it, and in this big bill, it was a giant bill, there was some lucrative tax breaks given to 5 developers that nobody knew about at the time when the bill passed and the governor signed. Turns out that 2 or 3 of those developers gave major donations to the governor at the time he was about to sign it and right after he signed it. And some of them had been donors before, but the amount of the donation had, you know, doubled and tripled to anything they had ever given. On top of that, one of the donors suddenly discovered the state Democratic Party had a housekeeping committee which allows unlimited donations, and they gave something like $100,000 or $200,000 to that. It just happened to be the same year that the governor was using that committee to fund ads promoting his agenda. So, you know, those are the kinds of things I'm
and
sure.
And himself, I may say.
Well, his agenda and himself.
Himself, yes, sir.
So, you know, I think, and I'm not saying anything untoward happened. I don't know that. But those are the kinds of things that certainly Preparara is, you know, believed to be looking at, that kind of stuff.
So there's nothing illegal about what you just said.
Nope.
But if somebody said something into a microphone, like, hey, you do this, I'll do that for you, that would be illegal.
Yes, it would be. And I tend to think that particularly the Cuomos, are smarter than that to do that. I don't think they're going to be caught in that way. If there's anything, and I can't say enough, we're just speculating here. My guess would be emails from internally from developers, you know, if there was anything like that. Maybe, you know, you're in a company and you say, hey, I just spoke to the governor's office. They're going to sign the bill and they ask that we send the check to blah, blah, blah. You know, and then that would raise the red flag for the U.S. attorney. Now, I have no indication, zero, that any of that happened. But to me, I can't imagine that there's an email trail or a paper trail. The governor's people are smart. And as far as I know, it has not happened that way. You know, a lot of people will tell you that the governor is not driven by money. He's driven by power.
Well, you can't get the power unless you get the money.
Right. But not for self. You know, we've seen, like, you know, Shelley Silver is accused of basically using his office to get $4 million, you know, that went to
himself.
Him. For himself. Dean Skelos is accused of using his office to get a couple $100,000 in no-show jobs for his son. So there was personal benefit. I've never heard Andrew Cuomo accused of doing anything like that. Now, in this environment, would anything surprise me? No. But that's what I mean. Like, I've not seen him try to, you know, enrich himself in that way.
Okay, I agree with you. Nevertheless, that doesn't really mean that if somebody, in order to get a campaign contribution, indicated that somebody would get some help and was caught doing it. Now, as the U.S. attorney, the way they do this, of course, is they get people to turn. So they arrest people at the bottom of the food chain. They turn somebody else in, Ken Lovett, and then somebody else turns somebody else in. And pretty soon, there's a meeting in the office where somebody testifies in order to get out of jail that maybe the governor indicated to him that this should happen. Now, I'm not saying it happened, but I'm saying that's the way they do
business.
And
that takes us right back to where we started this conversation, which the people who are now cooperating with the feds are just those kinds of people who would be involved in those kind of situations. Also, I don't think it's a coincidence, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm not in the meetings, but I don't think it's a coincidence that one of the battles that the governor is now having with Mayor de Blasio of New York City is over a program that would give benefits to developers who provide affordable housing. But on this side, this time around, the governor is actually going up a little bit against the developers. And I think in some ways, he's trying to send a message, look, you know, yeah, I get their money, but I'm not in their pocket. I'm trying to do something that they're opposing. So, you know, I, and it's a very public fight right now.
Double, triple, quadruple.
And I think that could be part of it, yeah.
Well, that's right. Now, talk to us a little bit, if you can, about the housing bills that are coming up in the legislature. You know, New Yorkers don't pay much attention to the legislature, in New York Cityers particularly. But every so often, everybody's fine-tuning becomes acute when it starts being that they're going to take somebody's apartment away from them where they've had rent control or what they call rent something stabilization.
Yeah. Yeah, and this year is, you know, this year is a very big New York City year up in Albany. There's the issue of rent regulations. The law expires, I think it's June 15th. And so that needs to be extended somehow. That's the big battle that's going on right now. I think a lot of people feel in this climate, it'll probably be some kind of straight short-term extender rather than, you know, changing it. But the governor has said he wants to see changes. The mayor and the Assembly Democrats want to see drastic changes. They want to get rid of what's known as vacancy decontrol, and that's when an apartment that has a rent of at least $2,500 a month becomes vacant, then it would go out of the deregulation. It would go out of the regulation system. It would become deregulated, so they can charge market rates for it. The Democrats want to get rid of that provision. The governor has said he'd like to see the $2,500 cap go up to $2,700. And the Republicans, ideally, they'd love to get rid of rent regulations totally because that's what the developers would like. But I think they would like to make as few changes as possible. Session is scheduled to end June 17th. That's going to be one of the fights that goes to the end.
So this fight between de Blasio and the governor, it seems unseemly. Well, we started earlier by talking about how Andrew Cuomo doesn't get along with a lot of other politicians. But I have been perplexed by the velocity of this argument. It seems to me every time de Blasio reaches out to the governor, now maybe you see it differently, the governor slaps his hand.
In all the stories I've written in 20 plus years here, when Mayor de Blasio was elected, when he was Mayor-elect de Blasio, I did a story that I really believed at the time, given the number of people I spoke to on both sides, that the relationship between a governor and a mayor, there's always tension and disagreements just because, you know, the mayors resent having to come to Albany for a lot of their agenda. But both sides kept saying it's going to be different this time. There'll be disagreements, but it's not going to get ugly. It's not going to be personal. These guys have been friends for two decades. They go back to when, you know, Cuomo was the HUD director, HUD secretary for Bill Clinton, and de Blasio worked for him. And I really bought into it because they have been friends over the years. But friends and work don't mix with Cuomo. He's got to be the alpha dog, the top dog. And from day one, when Cuomo gave his State of the State address last year, you know, days after de Blasio became mayor, he didn't give a shout out at all to the mayor who was in attendance. He mentioned about seven or eight other elected officials from upstate and other parts of the state, but he didn't mention
including two guys who seem to be on their way to jail right now.
Yeah. Well, right, but the legislative leaders. But no mention of his good friend Bill de Blasio. That was day one he snubbed him. And from then on, pretty much they fought over, you know, whether to tax the wealthy to pay for pre-K. They fought over charter schools. And it wasn't just policy disagreements, but the governor seemed to take gratuitous shots and to go out of his way to embarrass the mayor. And a lot of people were surprised that the mayor really wasn't fighting back. He just took it because he felt that it didn't pay to fight with the governor. It would maybe torpedo his agenda. This year, last year in May, about a year ago, the mayor actually stepped up for the governor. The governor was about to lose the endorsement of the Working Families Party. Mm. And the mayor, who was a real darling of the progressive wing of the Democrats, went in and saved his hide and brokered a deal.
No question.
And he thought, this is going to be the turning point with Andrew Cuomo. Now, you know, we're friends. He owes me, even though I'm not going to say that. And nothing changed.
He doesn't seem to owe anybody anything.
And the first time the governor could smack the mayor, he did. And this year, you know, the mayor did a State of the City address, and he put out this development proposal. And the governor's office that day put out a statement shooting it down.
Ken Lovett, there was a statement attributed to the governor. I don't know where I read it, which was that the governor was going around saying de Blasio will have to remember that he, Cuomo, is also the governor of New York City.
Yeah. And so what we've seen right now is that the mayor, for the first time, starting late last week, and it really went through the weekend, said, you know what? I've had enough. This isn't helping me. I'm having these fights. He's publicly embarrassing me, and I'm going to go after him, and I'm going to shoot back at him. Because, you know, to a lot of people, the governor respects only one thing, and that's strength. And, you know, like a schoolyard bully in some cases, if you punch a schoolyard bully, they're more amenable to talk to you. In this case, you know, de Blasio started fighting back. It got kind of ugly there for a few days. We had it on the front page of the Daily News. I wrote a column how de Blasio now was going to fight back. It had some negative comments about the governor from people close to him. And that morning that all that went down, on Monday, the governor and the mayor spoke and said, you know, let's tamp this down. Let's try to get this down.
Could it be both guys want to be president of the United States, however unlikely that is?
Well, I do. I think the mayor is obviously in the midst of trying to raise his national profile. The governor has always been mentioned as a potential candidate, although it's seen as less likely now. And maybe, you know, the governor was trying to knock him down a few pegs. Also, the governor was seemingly mad, according to sources close to both guys, that the mayor hired a woman named Karen Hinton as his press secretary. Karen Hinton used to work for the governor at HUD, and her husband, Howard Glazier, not only worked for the governor at HUD, but he worked for Cuomo. He was a major top aide. He was his director of state operations for 4 years. And so the governor saw that as a betrayal and was furious. And that supposedly is one of the things that set off the latest skirmish between the two, that the governor was very mad. He wasn't told at the time that it was going to happen. And so he was very angry about what happened. And that's what started some of this.
Amazing. Just amazing. So what else has to be done by the end of the session? We only have 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's a mayoral control, which, you know, the mayor
of the schools, New York City
of the schools. The mayor in 2002 under Michael Bloomberg got mayoral control of the New York City school district, school system. It expired in 2010. It got renewed in 29 for 6 years. And now it's coming up. And this is a political battle as well, because the mayor wanted originally a permanent extension. The assembly initially had called for a 7-year extension, straight extenders, no changes to it. The governor proposed 3. And the Senate, that's where the problem is, because the Senate is really angry at the mayor. Last year during the elections, he went all out raising money and talking and really trying to get and push the Republicans out of control of the chamber, he lost. So now, you know, the Republicans in the Senate are in no mood to really help him with anything. So they're making him sweat over this. They're saying they want different changes that a lot of people say would make it, you know, are onerous. They want to tie it to an increase in the cap on charter schools. So they're trying to play games with it, where it ends up. But most people still think it'll be a three-year extender in the end. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see how serious the Senate Republicans are. Another one is it's called a 421A program. And this is what we referenced earlier, in that it would give developers a lucrative tax break, add affordable housing units into new buildings that they're building. And this is one of the things that also set up the skirmish with the governor recently. The mayor cut a deal basically with the development community in New York City, saying that we will now give these, if we extend it, our proposal is, instead of 25-year tax breaks on these buildings, it would go to 35 years. But now the governor is saying, well, he wants to see a prevailing wage for the people who build, the construction workers who build these buildings.
It's a way of buying the unions.
It's a way of buying the unions. And it's an interesting twist, because now the governor is to the left of the mayor. And as we've known, as we've talked about many times here, the governor has a problem on his left. And all of a sudden, he's gone to the left of the mayor on this issue. And he actually had the mayor defending his liberal credentials at one point. It was really amazing to see.
I think one of the stupidest things the governor has done for a smart man was to decide that he was going to take on the teachers union. And basically, you make people think, you know, they only work till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They get their summers off. They get too much money. And we want to fire them more easily. And I think the teachers were right, went right for the governor's head. And they've spent a fortune on the radio and the television making sure that that doesn't happen.
Right or wrong, it certainly seems to coincide, that fight, with his poll numbers starting to drop. Now, you could argue, and certainly the governor's people would argue, that that's a sign, you know, that the governor has been willing over the years to expend political capital on things that are difficult and not just, you know, go along to get along or get along to go along. You know, he did it with the gun law that took
it. Yeah, but that was different. He was on the side of the gods here. Here he trashes our best people, the school teachers. For what reason? I mean, it just to show his power or what? It was just crazy.
Some would argue they didn't endorse him, but no. Yeah. I mean, look, there is an argument to be made that the schools, you know, given the results, there are changes to be made. And like Eric Schneiderman says about ethics, it's not about tinkering on the edges. That's the governor's argument, that we need major changes. And he believes that charter schools are one solution. He believes that...
But it's really about the charter schools in so many ways, isn't it? Because he knows the teachers don't like the charter schools, and therefore he's getting a lot of money from the charter schools, people who support some of the richest people in the country who support these charter schools. And he told him he'd take care of it all, and now he's going after the teachers.
Yeah, and it's the same kind of argument for the tax credit. You know, he wants to give a tax credit to, for those that would really benefit parochial and private schools. And
which he really got beaten up for, didn't he?
He's getting beaten, although he's going really hard on it now. I don't know.
Doesn't mean he's smart.
But you know what? This is not an issue. This is an issue that I think a lot of people actually support. I was talking to a bunch of Democrats yesterday who support it. You know, the Speaker of the Assembly supported the tax credit, the education tax credit, before he became speaker. He was a co-sponsor of that bill. There are a lot of Democrats,
but
particularly in urban areas, that support that.
Yeah, but he got it in the eye, because in the end, the Assembly would not go along with it.
We're not sure yet.
New York,
we're not there yet. The end of session, they're still talking.
Well, yeah, let's take a look at this. I think it's disgraceful. Personally, I think it's disgraceful, because this is a state who always say, you got public education, we're going to support it. You want to send your kid to a religious school? Good, but we don't have to pay for that.
Right. And look, there are definitely two sides to this argument, as there always is.
I don't think so.
And I'm not arguing one way or the other. I'm just saying I don't think it's a cut and dried issue, you know, even for Democrats. I think even Democrats are split on the issue on that one.
It's always wonderful to have Ken Lovett, who is in-house here all the time with us, can explain things about what's happening in Albany better than anybody I know. Ken, thank you so much for being with us, and I can't wait till the next time.
Always fun. Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.